Let us pray together. Loving Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity, for the grace of God and the mercy of God that you'll permit us to gather together here this morning to read from your word and to be blessed by your spirit. We pray thee, Father, that you will be a blessing to our souls. Help us, we pray, in his name. Amen. Well, I want to read to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Or chapter 2, rather, of the book of Ephesians. Now I'll read a few verses here, beginning at verse number 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us to be together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he, that's the Lord Jesus, might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which ye are called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you for a few minutes here this morning concerning who this person is that dominates the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, and every verse between Genesis and Revelation pertains to him who loved us and gave himself for us, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who lived for us, died for us, and will keep us throughout the end. I want to talk about him for just a little bit. Who is this man, this person, who we call the Christ? Who is he? It's imperative that we find out who he is. Now, the first thing that I want to call your attention to was his birth. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born in poverty and raised in obscurity. He was the son of an unmarried young woman. His foster father was a carpenter, inconspicuous and uninfluential. He had no formal training. He didn't go to college, he didn't go to high school, and he didn't go to the first and second grade. He had no formal training whatsoever and no education. He never traveled more than 90 miles from the place where he was born. His friends, were all poor and hopeless and helpless and unknown. He never owned a piece of ground or a house. He never held a public office. And his only possessions was the robe on his back. I'm telling you here this morning who this man is, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ only. And that's the whole theme of the Bible. All of the Old Testament and as well as the New is speaking about this one person. It's all about him. It's not all about you, and it's not all about me. It's not all about our relationships. It's all about him. He did it all. All to him we owe. The Lord Jesus. I said he never held a public office. His only possession was the robe on his back. He was sentenced to be hanged on a tree. He only had 12 faithful followers at that particular time who would follow him, and they sold him for $10 bill. Another one of them denied that he knew him, and the rest of them forsook him and fled in the darkness of the night. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves, and during his dying hour, according to his own testimony, even his Heavenly Father, even God Almighty turned away from him, and he cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, what a pitiful wail that came from the mouth of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's the Son of God. And he's the Son of Man. He's the God-man. He's God and man in one person. I don't understand that, but I know it to be true. God help us to know him whom to life, who know his life eternal. During his dying hour, according to his own testimony, God himself turned his back on him. He was taken down from the cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. Had no mourners at his grave. Went into the earth by himself. Never lived long enough to write a book. Yet all the libraries in the United States of America could not contain the books written and printed by him. He never wrote a song. Yet he has been the theme of more songs than all other objects continued. He never founded a college. As a matter of fact, he never even went to college. As a matter of fact, he never went to grade school or junior high school or high school. Yet all the colleges together can't boast of as many students as those who study his life. He never studied any medicine. He was no doctor. Yet he healed more broken bodies and hearts than all the doctors that ever lived and will live. I'm telling you about who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one like him. And that's the Christ of God. As much God as if he was never man. And as much man as if he was never God. Oh, for understanding that the Lord Jesus is all we have. All we have and all we ever will have to keep us and take us where he is. I'm sure and certain that I'll not be here much longer, and most of you will follow me or I will follow you. But we're all going to die, all of us. Every single soul sitting on this side and this side and those underneath, we're all going either to where he is or where he is not. I want to be in that number to be where he is, to live with him throughout the dateless ages of eternity. Oh, think of this man, Christ Jesus, the only man that was ever born of woman that was not a sinner. He was made a sinner. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our place. He bore all the guilt and shame that we have manifested in our short lifetime. He went to the cross and paid the penalty. The penalty for the broken law was death. And all of us here this morning, either now or then, were so far away from God, we'd never come back to him. But he went where we was and stood in our place. And he satisfied the holy justice of God. The holy justice of God demands perfection. Every one of us here has got to be perfect in order to get to heaven. And if that was all that was said, we'd be poor, hopeless, helpless, doomed, damned people. But that's not all that is said. All that is said is that He took our place. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Who is that man to whom the Lord will not charge with sin? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no sin. He was made sin, but in Himself, He had no sin. The law of God says that if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of them all. We were all born in sin, excuse me, and conceived in iniquity. We're born without hope, and we live without hope, and our only hope is within Him, the Lord Jesus, who stood in our stead and bore our shame and bore the full penalty of the demands of the law. It's Him. And I never get tired of talking about Him. I think I can talk about some other things if I wanted to. But it's too late in the game for you and too late in the game for me to be talking about anything else but Him. Because He, and He only, is the Savior. You can only be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a pity and a shame that many, or the multitude of people on earth today, have no understanding of what this is all about. Here we are, 25 or 30 of us, people going up and down the road, people going here and there, but we, by the grace of God, just a handful of us can meet together and talk about whom? Talk about what we've done or what we will do? No, we come here to hear about Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Everything else doesn't matter. It's to know Him. It's life eternal. Well, let me tell you just a thing or two about the law of God. God's law, holy law, is the manifesting of His justice. God's law is a spiritual law. And it requires, this is what the law requires out of you and me. It requires not only outward obedience, but inward perfection. That's what the law demands. Demands outward obedience and inward perfection. Obedience to the law, the Ten Commandments, and perfection in ourselves. There is no loophole, and there's no compromise in it. It's either Christ or nothing. It's either Christ or hell. one of the two. The Bible says here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 10, it says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them." Who can come to the earth in flesh and blood and never leave the bosom of his Father? Who can do that? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of God. Who can die and be buried and walk out of the grave in 3 days? Did you ever hear tell of anyone that they put in the grave and in 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 years or 300 years got up and walked out? No soul has ever done that except him whom to know is life eternal. Only the Lord Jesus can satisfy the demands of a holy God and impute his righteousness to us. Only him and him alone. Victorious is he under his own power. And no wonder, because he's God and he's man in one person. Now, who can be holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners and yet be numbered with sinners? Who can be tempted in all points of the law and yet be without sin? It's him who is in Christ. He's without sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says that he was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he is undefiled, separate from sinners, and numbered yet with them. Who can be tempted in all points of the law and yet be without sin? None but the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can die and be buried and walk out of the tomb in victory under his own power? The Lord Jesus. Who can ascend to heaven and be commanded to sit at the right hand of mercy? Who? The God-man himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he only is the gospel of substitution. He lived in our place, and he died in our place. I know this in my heart and my soul, that a man must know him. We can know about him and not know him. I'm talking about knowing Christ. I'm talking about having a heart to love the Lord Jesus. Not just talk about the Lord Jesus, but actually love him, because God has given you a heart to love him. I suspect the majority of those here this morning, that you know him, that you're in Christ, that when the time comes for you to depart from this world, you'll fall into the hands of a loving Savior. And I'm so glad that that's true. I'm glad that that's true. I'm glad that you've got a good hope in him, that you're not tangled up with works and things of that nature, and you understand that if you're ever saved, it'll be by the grace of God and the mercy of God. It won't be because of who you are or where you are and what you do and what you don't do. It'll be by the grace of God. The grace and the mercy of God. Now you say, what is grace? The Bible says that Noah found grace. Where did he find it? In the eyes of God. And that's where it's at. It's in the grace of God. And God will give you grace if you believe who the Lord Jesus Christ is and trust Him. He only is the Savior. There's no substitute for Him. Everything that I've read and said and all in the Bible is all about this one man. Without this one man, there was nothing. It's about one man, about the Son of God, who was all God and all man in one person. Who are you trusting today? Who do you believe in? He said, come unto me. Just come to me. Didn't talk about coming to the church. I didn't say you better quit going to the movies. Like that little boy said, he said, I'm ready to go. He said, I don't chew and I don't go to picture show and I don't run around with people who do. No, that's not it. It's not what you do. It's what He's already done. Trust Him. Come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Rest for what? Rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. And when you die, you'll cross over into that land of God Himself. Oh, my soul. Help us, help us, help us. One thing more here I want to call your attention to. That the Lord Jesus Christ, what I'm about to say is only said about Him. And God Himself said this about His Son. God the Father said this about His Son. He said, He, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God speaking, He only is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God said about Him, He said He's altogether lovely. He didn't just say He's lovely. He said He's altogether lovely. Everything about Him was lovely. Every move that He makes is lovely. Every word that He thought is lovely. He's altogether lovely. The Lord. And I'll tell you this in closing here. If He's altogether lovely, you and me who are in Christ, we're altogether lovely too. Because He put us in Him. He put us in Christ, and He'll keep us in Christ. And what Christ is, we are. We're altogether lovely. That may not be so outwardly at times with us, but in the eyes of God, we're altogether lovely because we're in Him. And He's completely lovely. He's the only man that ever lived, the only person that ever lived and walked the face of the earth that God could say He's altogether lovely. lovely. Everything about him was lovely. The Lord Jesus, who had such compassion and love for us, that he suffered for us, died for us, was buried for us, rose again for us, and said, one of these days I'll come back and you can go where I am. God bless you this morning, and God help us to love him . Robin, you lead us in him, and we'll go home.